We enter into the second half of number 17. Please remember, number 17 is the ideal of what it would mean to live in the Tao, both as a society and as rulers, people who would be of the government to govern. This takes a great deal of spiritual tenacity, as I would call it, to put love ahead, to put the whole idea of goodness, mercy, nobility ahead of everything. So listen to what Lao Tzu says in the second part of this sutra. Those who show no trust will not be trusted. Those who are quiet value the words. When their task is completed, people will say, "We did it ourselves." In other words, when the task is completed, out of quiet, we value the words of wisdom. Then the people are inspired. Inspired to do beautiful things with their life. Are you inspired to do beautiful things with your life? Chuang Tzu, again, his insights as a student of the Tao, says, "The person who lets the things of the world control him loses possession of the inner self." Yes, we have lost our ability to be noble, to be virtuous, to be benevolent. You can't make a person morally do these things. They have to have the ilk, that thing inside, where they realize their life would be torn apart, the uselessness of a life torn apart in aggression. I'm going to give you a story here. It was given to me by a man who passed through my life, and I was so grateful that he did. He passed on, but he was a very, very interesting man. And before he left this story with me, and I share it now with you. There was a man named Fleming. He was a poor Scottish farmer. One day, while trying to make a living for his family, he heard a cry for help coming from a nearby bog. He dropped his tools and ran to the bog, and there, mired in the muck and the mire of a terrifying quicksand up to his waist, was a little boy who was screaming and struggling to free himself. Well, the farmer Fleming saved the lad. He saved him from a terrifying death. The next day, a very fancy carriage pulled up to the Scotsman's sparse surroundings, and an elegant and very nobly dressed man stepped out of the carriage and introduced himself as the father of the boy that Farmer Fleming had saved. "I want to repay you," said the nobleman. "You saved my son's life." "No, no," said the farmer. "I couldn't accept payment for what I did," waving off the offer. "It was my honor, my privilege. What else could I do? At that moment, the farmer's own son came to the door. "Is that your son?" he asked. "Yes. Yes, that is my son," said the farmer. "I'll make you a deal," he said. "Let me provide him with a level of education my son would enjoy. And if the lad is anything like his father, he'll no doubt grow to be a man of virtue, a man of nobility." The farmer agreed. So Farmer Fleming's son attended the very best schools at that time, and he graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical Center in London and went on to become known throughout the world as the noted Sir Alexander Fleming, the discovery of penicillin. Years afterward, the same nobleman's son, who was saved from the quicksand in the bog, was stricken with pneumonia. What saved his life at that time? Penicillin. The nobleman's son almost died. The name of that nobleman's son was Lord Randolph Churchill, Sir Winston Churchill. Yes, you never know who you're helping. You never know what they will turn into. This is so prevalent with me in hospice. The chance to serve people, some who are leaving and the family who is staying behind, to be able to help them and to help them understand what it means to be generous and kind in this world. Some did. My privilege of being there is now shared with the people that support me, that allow this to happen. There are some very, very sweet and good people that come out of this. The death of their loved one brings on the life of themselves. These are people who realize to let the world govern them, to let the world control them. They lose possession of their ability to be noble, to do great good. I tried to tell my students, but they don't understand. As you support me to help others, you are in the same room with me at all times. The room of the sick, the dying, and your nobleness. Well, it makes it possible for love to happen in that room. And you are as much a part of all of this as I am. The same thing, the same principle of the nobleman and Churchill. You're the cure. This is what Lhotse is trying to get over to us. He is saying to us, the wise person, as he says in the Tao, leaves the gold buried in the mountains and lets the pearl remain in the deep. This person is a person of abundance. The nobleman could see the nobility of Farmer Fleming. He could see the nobility that was passed on to his son. Something great happened out of it. Something very personal. What goes around comes around. Work and live as if you don't need anything but nobility. Live in that nobility. live benevolently in that nobility. Love like you've never been hurt by the ego, by the human heart. Never allow your love to sink into the muck and the mire of assumption and presumption. If you love beyond hurt, the human heart, you will find that which you've been searching for a long time. You see, I can give you the secret to your life right now. No matter who is listening, instead of casting your affections upon yourself or wanting other people to be affectionate with you, you must learn to fall in love with your soul. If you do not fall in love with your soul, you will never overcome the unrequited within you. You must seek your soul in everything that you do. If you do not do that, you will miss. Now, the nobleman and the farmer, they did not know what they were doing, but they were noble enough and virtuous enough to live beyond the concepts and the confines of human emotion and passion. They were wise enough to understand what it means to leave the gold buried in the mountains and let the pearl remain in the deep. Don't go after wealth and fortune. Lhotse said in the Tao, the person who gives of his abundance to those in need lives according to the way. Do you understand that? At any given moment, your goodness may be required of you. Your soul will be required of you. And what will you give if you've lost your soul, if you are not in love with it? Do you remember the parable Jesus taught about this? He taught about the whole idea, the whole spectrum of living as love. One night your soul will be required of you. And then what will these things mean? These objects and things. If they are not used to serve humankind, if they are not used in noble ways, your soul will be required of you at one time or another in this world. But if you've been stingy with your ideas of conserving what you think you have or being afraid of what you don't have, you will never be able to fall in love with your soul. You have probably loved many things in the human form in and throughout your lifetime. Many. Some broke your heart. Some fulfilled you with all sorts of gratifications. But those are not the things that you and I can take with us through death. What the nobleman did to help Farmer Fleming's son go to medical school saved his son's life, his own life, and many lives. Who knew? You don't think that way. You don't look at a person that way. You must look at them for their nobility. What is it they would do and have done and are doing that is beyond the spectrum of reward and seeking reward over punishment. The only punishment we receive in this life is the way we have lived our life. And that can be turned around at any moment. Ebenezer Scrooge, remember the story? At the end, he realized what he had done, and he turned it all around and began to have a life worth living. A person who gives from his abundance to those in need lives according to the way. Yes, that's is correct. This is very, very important to understand. To live. To go beyond the confines of my sparse and limited mind that is only seeking self-preservation for the sake of my own survival. Nobody's happy in this world. Truly happy. Because they have no benevolence. The only thing that brings about true happiness, authentic happiness, is the benevolence of loving, sharing, giving, forgiving, and having mercy in this world. Everything else is just foolishness. So Lhotse number 17 is giving us the ideal of a supreme ruler, one who is so benevolent, so kind, that the subjects of his governing hardly know. He inspires society to live in the culture of love. He does not rule them with the iron fist. He rules them in the nobility of the people's hearts. We do not have this. Not in this world. This is an idealistic point of view, and I am grateful for number 17 because people will ask me, well, what would it look like if we did do the practice, if we did live our life in accord? Well, this is what it would look like. But let that not deter you from living in the way. You are your own government. You are your own life. The nobility you have to live a principled life is an honorable living. And it will come back to you in many different ways, just like it did for Churchill. It will come back in very beautiful manners. The manner of kindness, simplicity, solitude, and silence. To understand those three is the most important thing you will ever understand in your life. This goodness produces a love that is beyond the speculation of the human heart. I send you energy constantly. You may think I don't know you, but I do. I send you love constantly. You may think I don't understand you, but I do. I know you're terrified. I know you're frightened. I know your fears. But there is something that is beyond all of this within you. And I send you that light constantly. Because I understand the story that I shared with you here. I want to meditate with you. I want to meditate on the preciousness of you. You are precious. Don't give up on your practice. Don't give up on you. Live in that benevolence. Find the love in you. It's just beyond your doubts. Don't seek the unrequited. Fall in love with your soul. Let love live you.